Welcome to Media Nouveau, a podcast series exploring new media, old media, and the murky area in between.
We're students in David Morgan's New Media Writing class at Emory University.
Throughout the semester, we will discuss and question different facets of the ever-changing media landscape,
examining the ways in which we interact with and shape media. Each episode will explore a publication,
so that the series as a whole will articulate our own definition of these genres.
I'm producer Camille Wong.
And I'm assistant producer Thomas Cole Saffron. And this week on Media Nouveau, we explore clickbait in one of the most popular new media platforms today in 8 headlines that will make you rethink your BuzzFeed addiction. I think in this new media age, the new media publication that stands out quite notably from others is BuzzFeed. Founded in 2006 by Jonah Peretti and Kenneth Lehrer, who were also the founders of the Huffington Post, BuzzFeed became one of the first publications that made its content go viral. On its website, BuzzFeed describes itself as the leading independent digital media company delivering news and entertainment to hundreds of millions of people around the world. However, we probably mostly know it for its funny videos, interesting quizzes, and deliberately written headlines to get millions of clicks and shares. As we started to check out the layout of the BuzzFeed website, we kept two questions in mind. One, Is BuzzFeed really as shallow and superficial as the clickbait it presents? And two, how does this fit into the world of new media?
So, in the top left corner, there are columns you can choose. News, videos, quizzes, tasty, and more. After clicking each button, I would say that I spent most of my time on videos and quizzes. In fact, each column boasts a plethora of links that let you click on and engage with trending videos or interesting quizzes. There are some serious news articles about politics, international relations, and the economy, but those videos and quizzes are somewhat distracting when you are reading news and you involuntarily just click on headlines like
Hidden Toy Soap Surprise, Women Try Paparazzi Visors Featuring Patrick Starr, or a New York library is exploring the real-life history behind objects in the fantasy world of Harry Potter.
Since these headlines and content are funny, witty, weird, or ridiculous phrases, they trigger your curiosity. Quizzes headlines are always phrased in a way to coax you to click on them.
Only 4.0 students can get 20 out of 25 on this geography trivia quiz. Build a dog, and we'll guess your age and dream job. For almost 15 minutes, I checked out these headlines, and I hardly remembered how many clicks I made. When you're clicking on them, you just can't stop. It seems that the dopamine in your brain makes you feel great and you're addicted. But after I calmed down, I started thinking about whether this is a good publication site, and if we can view it as a real high-quality journalism standard.
In Who Cares If It's True? Asked the senior editor at the Washington Post, Mark Fisher. Old newspaper ways of doing things are scoffed at here. At a morning meeting, discussion of how to cover the president's State of the Union address focuses on two aspects only, getting Vine video of when stupid stuff happens, and putting together a piece about how no one cares about the State of the Union. Fisher's opinion is relevant to the BuzzFeed landscape. To me, it is more like social media or a social networking website where those editors can put really cool stuff. Even the editors of BuzzFeed echo this sentiment. For the audience, it is a good place to find cool stuff, but not a place they can trust.
This argument is especially interesting when looking through the lenses of old media and new media. In the past, when the internet was not so developed, the newspaper was the main platform for journalism. Every article in the newspaper is written with a trained and professional editor. Journalistic ethics are highly valued so that each article is responsible for presenting the public with facts and a valuable sense of worth. But as the internet came in, what Henry Jenkins defined as media convergence in his work Worship at the Altar of Convergence, a new paradigm for understanding media change, appeared. The old media began converging with the internet, and it developed a new platform called New Media, which mainly used technology to present journalism. With stories still being mostly credible, It seems good in the sense that videos, pictures, and audio can all be used in journalism to create a vivid digital newspaper. But at the same time, it also makes people focus much more on the surface level of what they're looking at. With pictures and videos, people are less likely to read the text in a close reading fashion, like looking at, you know, the words, each word by word. And they just click on these eye-catching items, and what ends up happening is you get this phenomenon as clickbait. And it's easy for new media to develop in this way because clickbait is very profitable and easy to produce. But what it does is it takes away from the essence and values of journalism by detracting from the information that's being presented.
Though BuzzFeed said it tried to change to a relatively serious journalism site since 2012, they did it in an improper and weird way. To promote feminism, editors of BuzzFeed uploaded a lot of videos about feminism. I would definitely support this conduct. But what editors uploaded was a video called Man Sees His Girlfriend's Period Blood for the First Time, and they got 2.3 million views in total. The common thread through this video is kind of like, I'm a woman, I have a period, I'm not ashamed of it. It is definitely right, but I think that since the video focuses on its form, it sacrifices the development of meaningful content. It makes people think that the video is funny but superficial. Yes, this caters to the humor of a lot of people. The way the headline was phrased and the content of the video were both forms of clickbait. It is no wonder the video got so many clicks. I can't help thinking that it is BuzzFeed's culture that clicks are the ultimate goal, and that is hard to change. In CNN's What's the Future of BuzzFeed News, a media executive asked, if you're BuzzFeed, why would you spend a lot of money to hire one reporter who creates low-traffic news when you could use that money to hire three kids who churn out high-traffic videos?
Seeing all the cool stuff on BuzzFeed, it seems that editors could put whatever cool things on there that they want, and they really could. But their posts could also be deleted by BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed's editorial standards, which are published on the site, say that editorial posts should never be deleted for reasons related to their content or because a subject or stakeholder has asked you to do so. But the standards also listed a kind of paradoxical requirement. The site doesn't write about ads that are running on BuzzFeed unless they're genuinely newsworthy.
According to its BuzzFeed deleting its real journalism articles too, in 2014, over 4,000 older posts were deleted. Both founder Peretti and BuzzFeed's editor-in-chief Ben Smith explained this phenomenon as a technical issue and said the posts were removed by accident. This answer, of course, didn't satisfy the public. In searching for reasons, Gawker published an article called BuzzFeed Deleted Posts Under Pressure from Its Own Business Department. As stated in the article, an internal review of any posts that its editors or writers had deleted from the site since editor-in-chief Ben Smith was hired in January 2012 was launched. Basically, the article points out that BuzzFeed deleted two posts in March and April 2015. Both posts had criticized brands whose parent companies were BuzzFeed advertising partners. One, a post criticizing the board game Monopoly, written after Monopoly's maker Hasbro had signed an advertising deal with BuzzFeed. The other, a post that criticized an advertisement campaign undertaken by the soap maker Dove, a property of major BuzzFeed advertiser Unilever. In a few words, just like the headline, BuzzFeed deleted post under pressure from its own business department. After this had been reviewed and due to the criticism, BuzzFeed restored those posts. In the post, BuzzFeed restores two posts its editor deleted by New York Times. The chief editor, Mr. Smith, said he had acted impulsively but had not removed the post because of advertiser pressure. I field complaints all the time from companies and individuals, including advertisers, he said, and I see it as my job to shield you from that pressure.
It's worth thinking about why BuzzFeed deleted those posts, and actually I don't totally believe what Mr. Smith said. I tend to believe what the Gawker post said. There are commercial interests involved, and you can't post whatever you want, even if it might be valuable and right. In reality, of course, this is the truth, because there are just too many conflicting interests involved. But is this really the right way to do journalism? I don't think so. As the world became more developed, it also became more complicated, and more conflicting interests and relationships have emerged between like business and personal and all that. And BuzzFeed is really intertwined with a lot of advertising companies, and there's obviously a lot of political interests involved with BuzzFeed and different social interests, and so it's just, there's a lot of conflict going on this website. And just like current new media, it's become more and more interconnected with other industries and fields and areas, and of course, this message can reach much further and a lot more people, and as such, all of the different interests involved want the message that BuzzFeed is spreading to be oriented towards their interest and associated with them. To avoid conflicting interest, BuzzFeed could possibly just stop telling the truth and posting valuable content, and at this point it would just become a platform full of funny superficial videos and quizzes that get millions and millions of clicks. At that time, the identity of the media would blur, and instead of a credible source of information, BuzzFeed would become so diluted by clickbait that real and important information would not be present, and this is why it is important to really think about the place of clickbait on this platform and also the place of various interests in the information that's being presented.
Huge thank you to Weisha Guha, our line producer, and to our professor David Morgan for their guidance in the production of this episode of Media Nouveau. To explore for yourself, be sure to check out BuzzFeed.com for all the trendiest clickbait. Citations to all quoted articles are included in the description of this episode.